Our journey through the story, through the Bible, begins like an action-packed movie. And if we miss these first bits of the story, if we miss some of the details here, we really will struggle to understand the whole overarching story of what God is doing. Well, let's explore this together then. It starts off with God. God who was with us before and outside of time. God who had planned to make the universe in this marvelous and mysterious joint way of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit working together. We see that mentioned as the Spirit is described as hovering over the chaos and the deep. We hear God speak and bring into being space and time and matter, all that you and I know as the visible universe, came to be from the Word of God, from God speaking and making it so. There are some fascinating passages in Proverbs chapter 8 and 9 that hint at how Jesus was involved in that creation as well. Even our gospel today from John chapter 1 reminds us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and absolutely nothing was created without Him. So it starts. It starts with God speaking. It starts with the Big Bang of creation. Now, we're not talking about the Big Bang of evolution, but as scientists have discovered that there is no way to explain the universe as it exists unless it suddenly burst forth in a flash, in a moment, in a Big Bang. From nothing came everything. Science can't explain how it is that it all came from nothing and all this exists. We as Christians believe it was from the bang of God's Word, "Let there be light," and bang, it all started. That wonderful creation, all that is involved, the stars shining at night in the skies, dolphins dancing in the spray of the ocean's waves, birds of every color under the rainbow and more than we can ever imagine, so much creativity, so much variation, so much beauty in this world that God has made, and it all started then. The pinnacle of that creation is you and me. Friends, if we need any boost at all to our self-esteem, to realize that God made us last, He made us as the creme de la creme, the peak, the pinnacle of all that He has done, He made man. You know, the Bible goes on and says also that He made woman, that He caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and then He took out all of his brains and sense of direction and put that in the woman. At least that's the way I think my wife's version of the Bible reads. But in all seriousness, God made us as the absolute pinnacle of His creative beauty. He put in us His image. That doesn't mean, like Michelangelo's painting, that somehow we and God physically look alike. But it means that the image of God is that we have a sense of morality, of awareness of truth, that we have love and compassion, those characteristics that we will see all throughout the story, throughout the Bible. Those characteristics of God are in us. But from the Big Bang of creation and of God making Adam and Eve and placing them to be in charge of all of His creation, placing them in this perfect place of the Garden of Eden. In fact, you might want to open up the story Bible, and on the inside front cover, you've got this map. It shows over here the place where the Tigris and Euphrates rivers come together. Maybe draw a little tree there as a reminder. That's about where we believe the Garden of Eden actually was. But they weren't there for long, because there was the Can we call it the next Big Bang, the Big Bang of sin? If God's creation started this beautiful universe of space and time, our act of sin, our creation of sin, started a ripple effect, a flow of disease, of fear, of anger, of suffering, of death that has never stopped. This virus that we are sheltering in place to avoid spreading to one another is just one of millions of signs. If you read through Genesis, you'll notice in some of your readings that almost immediately after Adam and Eve's sin comes the next wave, the sin even growing worse, the first murder. And on it goes and grows and affects everything and everyone. This sin was so deeply embedded in us like a deadly virus and is passed on from generation to generation, from every parent to every child. When God proposes a solution for that sin, when He desires to rid the earth of mankind's wickedness and bring the great flood, the amazing story at the end of that is the realization that even though God picked the most righteous man and his family on the planet, He picked Noah, He picked his family to construct the ark and to ride out this storm, the most righteous man on earth was still tainted with sin. And it was that tainting, that rebooting or restarting of sin, that showed there was going to have to be another solution. Now, this other solution, the need for this, is not a surprise to God, maybe a surprise to us, but it is hinted at all the way back in the very beginning. After God makes Adam and Eve and they are rejoicing and enjoying life of perfection without fear, even without clothes, in Genesis 1 and 2, we see the fall into sin so quickly in Genesis 3. And there, as they give in to Satan's temptation, there, as they eat the forbidden fruit, they now discover this pull to hide, this pull to lie and to blame others. As first Adam blames the woman and the God who created the woman, and the woman blames the serpent. As this blame train gets going, God brings consequences. He curses the serpent, Satan, who will remain under God's curse forever. He cannot bring himself to curse the crown of his creation whom he loves. And so instead of cursing Adam and Eve, he curses the ground. He curses this world to begin its decaying process. So viruses and earthquakes and famines and locust herds and whatnot all begin to spring up. The woman has the consequence of pain and childbirth. And yet even mixed in that is the gift of God's grace to participate in the creation of another life, to have the joy of bringing a life into the world, a child. And yet God isn't done. Because He loves His creation so much, the whole rest of this story that we are going to look at together is God setting into motion the plan of how He will finally rid the world and rid our own hearts of sin. He'll do that through a plan that He is going to reveal through His Son, Jesus Christ, when He is born on this earth. But even that part of the plan is hinted at all the way back here in Genesis chapter 3. You see, after Adam and Eve had sinned, they attempted to cover themselves up with fig leaves. They're kind of itchy. They're kind of hard to sew together in any sort of permanent way. And so God, in love, provided a better covering. He provided animal skins. That means that some creature gave up its life, was killed and sacrificed in their place so that Adam and Eve could be covered. The Jewish scholars of old have said that that creature was a sheep. a lamb. Just as we refer to Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, that sacrifice, that covering for Adam and Eve's sin, is a whisper to us of what God's overarching plan will be. He will provide the ultimate covering as His Son is going to give His life and shed His blood that we might have our sin covered over and even cleansed and removed. But that's a little further down in the story. We'll have to wait until we get there. Until then, friends, trust that the God who started this creation and the God who provided the solution through the big bang of sin, that God still loves you, is looking out for you, is seeking your best. And as He had a plan for your sin, He has a plan for your life. May you walk with us in this journey through the story and understand that plan more and more. Amen. I invite you to pray with me. Oh Lord God, we give you thanks and praise for your beautiful creation. The beauty of a sunset or sunrise is beyond words. The many variations of birds, their beautiful singing, their incredible stripes and spots, their abilities, and the ability you put in us as human beings to make music, to show love, to create, to care for, to show compassion. You made us in your own image. We thank you and praise you that as your word says, we are wonderfully made. And yet, Lord, we know that sin taints each and every one of us. We know our need for you to come up with a plan to solve that sin because we cannot solve it on our own. As we walk through this journey in the story, Lord, we will get clearer about that plan. But for what of it we know, we thank you for forgiveness of our sins, especially as you showed it through the sacrificial covering of your Son, Jesus, his life, his death, and his resurrection. Now, Lord, cover over all of us with your grace. Let your grace especially be upon those who are sick, who are in need, who may have lost their jobs in the midst of this pandemic and all of the fearful effects afterwards. Let your grace and protection be with our first responders, with our government and leaders, giving wisdom, giving protection, giving your goodness and love every way they need it. And bless and keep your people, the church, Lord, to trust in you, to walk with you, to honor you and glorify you by telling your story. This we pray in faith in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Join us now, if you would, in singing our closing hymn. We're going to join together and sing Thy Strong Word. Have a blessed week, everyone.